we started the show talking about the fact that Jim Schwartz is getting a massive pass for the struggles of the defense and the fact that we're explaining away the defensive problems instead of dealing with them head on. I don't know anyone in the Browns organization is getting more of a free pass from the media specifically and from some fans than Kevin Stefanski himself.
Why is that? Why are we so scared to put this on the doorstep of Kevin Stefanski? Because you're right. I know you're right. Not enough people are hammering him. But is it because we don't know exactly what he's responsible for? Is it because with Deshaun Watson, we don't know that anybody could be doing anything better right now? Why? Why is he getting this pass?
It's easier to redecorate a room in a building instead of demolishing the whole building. Okay. I think our worst fear is, well, it's easy to replace the quarterback. We've done that so many times before. And by the way, there's a lot of logic that goes into how bad Deshaun has looked 17 games in. Given what you traded for, given what you gave him financially. But I hear people continuously say, people we love and respect in the media. So it's not a personal shot at them. It's just an observation that, well, yeah, it's been probably the worst we've seen from Kevin Stefanski. Should we not explore that? I mean, I think
I think the hard part here is that are you in agreement he's the best head coach since 1999?
Yeah, but why is that?
I think it's hard for people because they're looking at it and saying, well, this guy's the very best we've had in 25 years, mm-hmm. and that's one playoff win in the 5 years that he's been here. Like that is, and now we're at a crossroads where it's like, do we even keep him at the end of this season? Does he last the end of this season? You see, I get how it's tough for people.
I get how it's tough. But
it doesn't
like,
mean it excuses any of the blame, but I
fairness,
get how it's tough.
Okay, here's the other thing. I do think that because Kevin's been here for 4.5 years now, I think you know he's not a bad person. I think you know he's not a malicious person.
Killed us with his niceness.
Yeah, well, I mean, honestly, I think that goes a long way.
And he was, I hate to use this term because it's one they like to use, but he has been an adult in the room.
Yes, and so I think with Kevin, you can go, but look what he did with Jacoby. But look what we did with Baker. Even if historically we look at those things and go, well, Baker's actually been better in Tampa.
Todd Bowles has as many playoff wins with Baker Mayfield as Kevin Stefanski does.
Well, okay, well, and with Jacoby, well, okay, did Jacoby just... You kind of go over and above our expectations, or was that really the best iteration of Jacoby? Because statistically, it looks the same as the guy that you had in Indianapolis. Like, okay, well, yeah, Joe Flacco, look at what he did with Joe. Well, isn't Joe just doing that in Indianapolis now?
Same exact thing.
None of this is, by the way, none of this is to discredit what Kevin has done.
Sounds like you're discrediting a little bit of what Kevin has done.
Well, no, I think it's more to put it in proper context. Like, I think we've built him up. Listen, it would be so much easier if it was just as simple as Deshaun sucks, ship his ass out, and, you know, bad feelings gone. It's not that simple. We're talking about coaching issues repeatedly across weeks, across weeks, across weeks. And now we're talking about leadership, too. I get that we love Kevin Stefanski, the offensive coordinator, that some people in town have and he is. I think he's a fine play caller when he can do his system. Well, now that he's not doing his system, I don't know he's even a good play caller right now. So instead of asking, I just think it's harder to ask questions about a guy that you banked on that we've all just, we pass go, he's fine, it's great. I'm not doing fire the head coach radio. That's not what we're doing. I do think, though, to put this all on Deshaun is a massive, massive misstep. Because when you're this bad, when you're this expensive, when you're this veteran, this aged, this cannot be about one cog in the machine. It's got to be what is going on with the machine in general and the biggest cogs in it, of which Kevin is the head offensive coordinator for this team.
Right, but that's the problem, is that he's the head offensive coordinator, and I don't know what else he does. That's the big issue I have. That's what I've always had a problem with Stefanski.
Spouts cliches.
Well, yeah, he's great at that. He's
really
great,
good
at going to the podium and not telling us anything. What does he do? Outside of offensive coordinator, what does he do? I think something dangerous happened last year, Nick, where I really do believe this, that he started being the delegating head coach, and it was working for him. Hey, Jim Schwartz, take over on that defensive side of the ball. Oh, now we're the number one defense. Hey, Callahan, take over the offensive line and the run game stuff. Oh, we're doing this right. We're doing this right. And then I think he just realized, oh, all head coaching is in the NFL is just delegating out to people, and then I can play offensive coordinator, and it's all coming to roost this year. Because there's so much more that goes into it than just that.
I would argue that's who he's always been, because I think AVP and Bill Callahan were a huge part of, and I want to say this, I'm not trying to say like he's a fraud without them, but I think he was a huge part of propping him up, because AVP was known as a great communicator, I think there's maybe some questions about Kevin's ability to communicate across the board.
He became friends with Aaron Rodgers. Think about what a tough task that would be.
And then I think it's easier to kind of call plays when you know you can trust somebody to set up your entire run offense and blocking assignments and also be an authority figure in an offensive room, which is Bill Callahan. So none of this is to say, well, he's a fraud without them, but five games in, I'm not talking about you're getting out-talented.
Well, and let's also be honest about it, too. We have emphasized the amount of, let's call it even success that Kevin Stefanski's had. Like, act like one playoff win in 5 years is him going to the Super Bowl every year.
It's a little disingenuous. He did go to the playoffs twice. That is, making the playoffs is an accomplishment. You can give him a little bit more credit than that.
We act like he's Shanahan with Super Bowls and three years appearances. Like, it's not what that is.
The biggest
question for me going into this year, Nick, was could he be the guy that takes you to the next round of the postseason and elevate that to being a Super Bowl head coach? Like, we still had those steps to go, though. And I feel like a lot of us, we walk around and act like he's Tomlin. We act like he's Shanahan. We act like he's McVay. We act like he's all these other head coaches that have been there, done that, and got the T-shirt. He hasn't done any of those things.
Yeah, I think and this is where you and I are in lockstep. I think what we missed is when you got 4 years in and you go to the playoffs twice and get a playoff win, the bar changes. Because now it's, well, I don't need to worry about firing you at any given minute. But now the bar is, all right, are you a good coach or are you a great coach? Right? Good coaches get elevated by really strong assistants, right? Good coaches are elevated when your team is really, really good and everything's going right. Great coaches can get you out of where the Browns are right now. And great leaders can get you out of where you are right now. And I have no doubt about Kevin's ability to scheme an offense. I have a real doubt about his ability to scheme an offense around Deshaun Watson.
Sure.
But that's it will be here in a minute. But in terms of there's a lot of things here that I'm like, okay, he understands this, he understands that. But if I'm talking about coaching as a fundamental flaw on both sides of the ball, that falls directly on the coach. And to give a pass for that, to me, is unforgivable. Just because you like him, just because he's got a great jawline and kind of that salt and pepper look that I think a lot of
salt
people...
Salt and pepper's there. The jawline isn't as
I will disagree.
Defined.
That is a fine jawline there. Good for you. You're better looking than I am. That's not a bar that you want to clear. That's like being the best Browns head coach since 1999. There's a lot of people better looking around me. But no, I think we've done this thing where, well, he seems like an adult, so I guess he's just a good head coach. Like, I think we've constantly conflated Kevin the head coach with Kevin the OC. And I think now it's a time to really break down the difference between those things and say kind of what you were saying, which is, are you a part of the problem or are you part of the solution? And I think you do that as the OC, and I think you do it as a head coach. But I cannot stand to watch teams that lack leadership. And that showcases itself with too many 12 men on the field penalties. That
right.
Showcases itself with missed tackles not getting cleared up and guys saying missed tackles aren't the damn issue. It showcases itself with a defense that calls itself elite in every press conference. And I got to watch Miles out there with Miles' hammer and sweatpants and all the great things because, hey, this is what winners do. And then you go out there and you don't fulfill on it. You can walk out there in a Speedo stuffed with cucumbers if you want to, if you're winning. When you're losing, I'd like you to show. Let's not fall down that. I saw it in your eyes. Let's not do it. But no, like to me, there's so many signs of leadership. And this idea of, because here's the thing.
You mean a lack of leadership is what you're saying?
Well, yes. It all points back to.
Again, this goes back to Jim Schwartz, though, does it not?
Yeah.
Because in my eyes, and you tell me if you think I'm wrong here. I made, when they hired Jim Schwartz, one of the reasons why I was able to call out that they were going to hire Jim Schwartz and why I was like, guys, listen, it's over. It's not going to be a race for the defensive coordinator. It's going to be Jim Schwartz. I called him a Roomba,
mm-hmm.
You know, because with a Roomba, you just kind of set it off and then it goes and it cleans everything and you don't have to worry about it. It just takes care of everything. That's what Stefanski's always wanted with a defensive coordinator. And I think that's what he has in Jim Schwartz. He just doesn't have to think about it. He gets to be his offensive mind and deal on the offensive side of the ball. I don't know what he does defensively. I think he just lets that all up to Jim Schwartz, the way he let it all up to Joe Woods until Joe Woods clearly showed he couldn't do the job.
Well, and I think to kind of build to you, he even has outsourced the leadership. Like, I'm totally fine with, and I think players love to hear things like, well, this is a player-led locker room.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, okay, what if I'm not seeing the leadership? Because inevitably...
Or it's just Jameis.
Well, because the whole point... And no, I think that's fake. I'm not saying Jameis is fake, but I'm saying we love to put that stuff on camera. When I then go see a team play 1-4, I'm going to start to think that that thing isn't real. I'm just going to start to think that that's real fun and real cheeky for the camera than of any substance.
Yeah, I could buy into that too, by the way.
But like, I look back at this and go, like, oh, I don't have a problem with I'm going to outsource something or I'm going to okay, you're now the head defensive coach. I'm the head offensive coordinator. You're going to be my leaders if it's working. If it's not, then you have to go right back in, get your hand in the dirt and fix it. And I think that's the missing step. I have to coach better means nothing to me. It doesn't. Not after three straight games.
What you're describing is a team we're going to take on this weekend with the Eagles, where when Shane Steichen was the offensive coordinator and they had all sorts of things working on the defensive side of the ball as well. Like, it was like, oh, yeah, great. And the moment those guys were gone, Sirianni didn't know what to do with himself.
Yeah.
And then it became full dysfunctional. And now you see where the Eagles currently are.
If you think Shane Steichen and Vic Fangio were the thing...
No, it wasn't Fangio. It was Jonathan Gannon at the time.
That's right. If you think they were the things propping up Nick Sirianni, why couldn't the OC and the O-line coach be part of that as well? And I'm not saying I have the definitive answer. It's that nobody's asking the question because there's this dangling carrot that is Deshaun Watson. And it's so much easier if it's all about Deshaun, right? We can sleep better if it's all about Deshaun because we think he's not a good person and we think he's fake and we think he's this. It's so much easier if that's the case. That doesn't put you any closer to the end of the maze. It doesn't. Asking yourself, okay, what does this head coach have to earn? Right? What does he have to own? What does Jim Schwartz have to own?
Right, but I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit here. From the fan's perspective, I think it's logical if a fan is sitting here listening to us and they say to themselves, well, how many wins would Andy Reid have with Deshaun Watson right now?
Mm-hmm. I would think a lot more.
It wouldn't be enough.
Are we talking about this year or are we talking about in general?
I'm saying you make Andy Reid the coach of the Browns right now. How many wins does this Browns team have?
I think two more.
I think that's the defense. I'm surprised you said two.
Yeah, no, it's because the Giants game and the Raiders games, there were things in game that were obvious fixes. Cover Malik Nabers for freak's sake! I don't know. How about you go ahead and figure some things out defensively in either one of those games that on the spot an elite head coach would call?
Well, and I do you think there is something. I chose Andy Reid not only because he's the best coach in the game in my mind, but also you watched what happened with Kareem Hunt last night. Kareem Hunt off the street. Brown said no thank you, and all of a sudden he's 100 yards and a touchdown. Juju Smith-Schuster was a nothing burger and just discarded by everyone, and then all of a sudden he goes to the Chiefs last night and he's playing good football as well.
Did you dispute it, by the way? Dispute it. That sounded very confrontational. Do you disagree two wins extra with this team with Andy Reid?
I think two is a lot. I would say maybe one, maybe.
I mean, we're
really down bad. I wanted to play devil's advocate there, but I do think there is some truth to the idea that as bad as this has been, I don't know that Andy Reid would have made Deshaun Watson be great in this offense and the way this is set up. I don't know that he would.
But I think you just need consistent from Deshaun. I think one week I look at Deshaun.
We don't have that though.
Well, but I think, okay, we put that all on Deshaun. I don't think it is. I think some of this is on, and by the way, it's not a new system.
I mean, I know in the first three passes of any game, if Deshaun is going to be good or not that day, not good.
Do you agree with me? Stop calling it a new system.
It's like my golf game. It's just, I know within the first three shots, what do I have that day? It's not good.
I know before I tee off. But do you agree? Do you agree? Like, when it comes down to it, this is not just all about Deshaun. And when it comes to Kevin, like there are basic things here that aren't happening, and they're telling you, the team's telling you, there are basic things not happening, and we just go,
no,
that's got to be about Deshaun.
I agree with all of that. I'm looking at it from how much better could they do if we had that head coach that you are talking about right now? How much better would this team actually be?
Can I tell you how different it would be? Is that we wouldn't be talking about a new offense. It would have subtly happened over time. It wouldn't have taken 2 years, now 3 years to get there. By the way, we're still not there. It's not a new offense. All right? It's a different offense, but it's not a new offense. They're not throwing spread concepts. The offense they're throwing out there looks nothing like what they did in Houston.
Well, friend, it looks like you might answer your question then. It sounds like you think Stefanski's the problem.
Well, no. It's just, yes, I do think he's part of the problem. So benching Deshaun, maybe it gets you 30% of the way there. Maybe you spark a win like the Panthers did with Andy Dalton. But I'm incredulous listening to people talk about this team, and you guys are spot on, by the way. Yes, Deshaun played awfully on Sunday. No disagreement. But, like, Where is the blame for the defense? Where is the blame for just overall leadership? And here's the thing. I think what you said is why Paul DePodesta still has a job here. Because you can't fire a guy if you don't know what the hell he's responsible for. And I think we've given Kevin this out of, well, you know, he doesn't really watch over the defense. And, well, he doesn't game plan the offense. And, well, he doesn't throw the ball. He doesn't. Well, what does he do? Because I think, well,
it's a question I've been asking for how many years with him.
It's a player-led leadership thing. So it's not on him. What are we talking about? He's the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. When did this guy become Teflon Don?
Because
I'm not saying fire.
In fans' eyes, he's more offensive coordinator than he is head coach. I really do believe that. He is more offensive coordinator than he is head coach in fans' eyes.
216-474-0092. Is Kevin Stefanski part of the problem or part of the solution? Because I will meet you halfway. I do think Deshaun, one way or another, however you want to skin that cat, like if we talk about whether it's his play, whether it's his leadership, whether it's his confidence, whether it's the off-the-field stuff, I'll meet you halfway. Deshaun deserves some blame here. Schwartz on the defense. And those guys with those giant egos. I love those guys. They're calling themselves an elite defense. They're not playing elite. Okay, yeah. Here's your slice of the pie here. But yet, I hear so many people in the media, maybe because Kevin Stefanski texts them.
Or maybe
them.
We just have so many slices of the pie that it just seems daunting at any given moment. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but how is
we
that
have a lot
not
of slices of the pie right now?
How is that not one of the biggest slices of pie?
I think people are focusing on the biggest slices of the pie, which is Deshaun Watson, which is the offensive line, which is the defense, which is a lot of different slices here.
And who is the head coach of those slices?
I'm with you. I've been with you from Jump Street. He deserves part of the blame, but there's a lot of people that are responsible for 1-4.
Is Kevin Stefanski part of the problem or part of the solution? The answer might be different this year than it has in previous years. I want to get JP's take on this next on 92.3 The Fan. We're trying to assess what actual blame belongs at the feet of Kevin Stefanski, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. So that leads me to say it's clear that I think right now, when we're talking simple mistakes, you coach it or allow it. When we start talking about the offense still doesn't look like anything to what it was or what it was promised to be. So it's clear that right now I need Kevin to clean up his side of the street for the Browns to start winning.
For sure.
For you, you've said you've got one question remaining.
Well, I do think he's more the problem than the solution. I think we can both agree on that. We both have agreed on that. But I do wonder if we asked him to solve an unsolvable puzzle.
Okay, which part?
Well, I just feel like if we dial this back completely, would Deshaun Watson think to himself at the end of this year, if only I had been gone, if only I had chosen the Falcons and not the Browns. If only I had chosen the Saints and not the Browns. And I don't think he's going to get to that conclusion.
Why?
I think he's going to put it on himself. I think he realizes where he's at. And I don't know. I think it's almost a little unfair at times, even though I'm not defending Kevin. It sounds like I'm defending him. I think it's a little unfair that we put so much on Stefanski when I don't think anybody was going to coach Deshaun Watson to success this year.
Did we put Kevin Stefanski as the play caller?
No, Stefanski did that to himself.
Hold
on. What did you expect him to do in that scenario?
Hire somebody who could actually...
That's the one thing he thinks he's great at.
Well, no. But so my point is, if you think to yourself... Because remember, he's great at calling his offense. That's not what this year was supposed to be. And somehow we're stuck in this middle, this no man's land, where it's not the Kubiak offense and it's not the Deshaun offense.
Okay, is the problem that Stefanski never adjusted to what Deshaun does well?
No, I think he's not comfortable with it. And yes, the problem is he's never adjusted. Like,
so the arranged marriage was a bad arranged marriage.
Well, okay, but that's an important point to make. But so we were talking earlier about Andy Reid versus Kevin Stefanski. And I said two more wins. And the reason being is I've seen Andy Reid over 25 years adapt to win. In games, and with each specific team, you have to adapt in some way. I have never seen Kevin. If you conform to Kevin's system, you are good, you are golden, I'm going to make you look as good as you have in an age, right? If you do not fit within that, I don't think Kevin knows what to do with it. And I think it's so easy to win when you're allowed to be in your comfort zone. Right? It's so easy. When I can do things the way Nick Wilson wants to do it 99% of the time, guys, I'm the best human in the world. I'm the greatest father. I'm the greatest lover.
Right, but there's other factors that obviously
greatest,
come in.
I'm the greatest dad.
You're telling me what you're great at. Go ahead.
I'm great at all the things.
How far does the list go?
When everything lines up to work for me, where I'm at,
great
where
TikTok
I'm
influencer.
TikTok is taking TikTok. Over. And Nick Wilson says. But sometimes to win, you have to step outside your comfort zone.
I've hammered Stefanski for that. I've hammered him for the idea that he's not taken any input, it seems like, from anybody else but Stefanski. I think he's the most controlling head coach that nobody thinks is controlling.
Yeah.
We've gone over that a million times. Okay. And he deserves some of the blame for that, for sure. But at the end of the day, if I think this might be an unsolvable puzzle, then how am I going to sit here and say it was always Stefanski and Stefanski's the reason why? Like, there's... Where the whole idea behind this is that it's more than just a Deshaun Watson problem, but now I feel like we've shifted it to all just being a Kevin Stefanski problem, and I don't think that's true either.
No, Deshaun will. I don't know that Deshaun's ever going to own his side of the street. He seems defensive. He does not look. Personality wise, he does not seem like the guy he was in Houston, and so that is important to put out there. But do you know how you get somebody to be themselves? You make them comfortable. And if we're 3 years in. If this whole offseason was about we got to build the offense that features Deshaun, and I got people 5 games into the season saying, well, Deshaun's not part of the solution. Deshaun is the problem. If I've got to hear that, then can I look to the offense and go, well, was that what it's supposed to be? And if the answer is no, even if the O-line is a huge part of the problem, even if Deshaun himself is a huge part of the problem, if this whole thing was set up to, we're going to unveil something that totally unlocks and make Deshaun comfortable. And then 5 games in, I'm like, where are the spread concepts?
Well, that was clearly just a bunch of fugazi, was it not? I mean, like, they sold it on us. They tried getting us all pumped and excited that something was going to be different and it was new. And they also tried trading for Brandon Ayuk a week before the season got underway. I think they were lying. They're just lying to us is all they did there.
Well, no, because they also restructured Deshaun's contract going into the season, which they didn't have to do, which tells you that they were confident in what they were doing. So you with this new, because it's not, ooh, you're not doing it.
I don't know about
this,
I mean,
this new thing. Remember, the whole point of this offseason is up until the last week before the season.
I don't think you try to trade Amari Cooper for Brandon Ayuk feeling as if you're like 100% confident in what you have there.
What? No. But that's, I think that's about you upgrading Ayuk over Cooper. I don't think that's about paranoia about Deshaun.
That's a whole new wrinkle into the offense a week before.
So my point is, getting back to on point here. My point is, you can't say you did everything to succeed with Deshaun when every single year the offense reverted to your offense, your whoopee, the thing you're confident in, and then this year the whole thing was built up. If it was fugazi, that in and of itself is fireable because I think that's the reason AVP isn't here.
No one's defending Kevin Stefanski's job right now. I don't feel like. I feel like a lot of people have come to the conclusion that I think we all are going to get to by the end of the season. Instead of rearranging the one room, Nick, we're probably going to have to fire the whole entire staff and burn down the house. We're going to have a lot of changes if it goes down this direction.
I think if you just continue to go on, and I'm not saying you, but if we just continue to go down the season and go, well, I guess Deshaun sucks. And then you get to the end of the season and you look back and go, well, no new offense. Well, certain things did get better, but we're still talking about elementary level of football here. Like, this can be avoided.
Okay, so do you want Deshaun for more than this year? Is that what you're getting at?
No. I'm saying that if all we do is just blindly blame Deshaun, guys, when you go to Jameis, if it doesn't look worse, there's a guy you got to blame. If you go to DTR and it doesn't look any better, if as a matter of fact, it gets even worse, less competitive, if guys start checking out, that's a sign that we need to examine this Stefanski thing. Not every conversation, I'm not saying you're doing this, but the second you talk about a head coach in this town, the reflexive thing is, well, I'm not firing him. That's not what anybody's talking about. I want to know why Kevin Stefanski isn't Kevin Stefanski anymore. And it cannot
be. Like, who took his powers is what you're saying.
Yeah, because here's the thing. I have no problem.
I think that's a fair question.
I have no problem. If it was just the offense, if it was just Deshaun sucking, you know what I could say? I could say, well, change the quarterback and get back to me.
What happened to the guy that felt like he could coach anybody into success? What happened to that guy? Where'd that guy go?
And also, why is this team poorly coached? Like, I cannot get over that. This team is so poorly coached.
I know. I mean,
they're so lazy. They're so entitled. They're so egotistical. They're so sloppy. They're so mind-numbingly crappy to watch. And everyone's just going, "Hey, Deshaun. It's Deshaun." Because it's simple.
You were at training camp the same way I was. It looked like club med out there.
Like, I just...
We weren't at Stefanski training camps prior to this where it looked the same way, where it just looked like it was very casual, it was very laissez-faire.
And I'm not to the part of the season where I'm fire, trade, bench guy. It's five games. It's ugly as sin. It's as ugly as
it
can be.
Honestly, you know what it sounds like, though? It sounds like to me that Stefanski is the type of person that went into this season thinking maybe he could do something with Deshaun, and once he realized he couldn't do anything with Deshaun, maybe he... I'm not saying he threw in the white towel... But maybe he all of a sudden went to himself, I guess we'll just have to play it out what it is, and this is just going down a path nobody wants to go down.
Is that not telling on Kevin?
For sure it is.
What
I don't
other
think
head
he's
coach?
The type of person that would just quit like that, but it kind of really feels like it when you kind of dial it all back.
Because, again, this is not a defense of anyone. Blame everyone. You're 1-4 in the weakest part of your schedule. Question everything. But we're not questioning Schwartz. We're hammering Rodney McLeod.
We did to start off the show.
Well, no, we are, but we're the first people in Cleveland to do it.
Okay.
And when Rodney McLeod says we're an elite defense, immediately we guffaw and say, bah, how dare he say that? Okay, well, where's the guffawing for Jim Schwartz?
Yeah, I just wonder if they're living off too much of last year.
I think maybe entirely they're living way too much off the last 4 years.
Which, as we reiterated, is not that much mind-blowing success.
Yes, it's better than what we had. It's not where we're going. The question is now, and listen, when you're 1-4 and you lose the way that you've lost, where we're talking effort-focused elementary football, and football and coaching is in question, we should be having these conversations. It doesn't go just fire Stefanski overnight. That's not how this should work. This is a reasonable town with plenty of reasonable people. And I think it's reasonable to look at Kevin and go, where did that guy go?
You're 100% fair in that.
And here's the thing. How do we get him back? Because if your answer is only bench Deshaun Watson.
I don't know that we can.
216-474-0092. Dr. Dinger saying, you can't really believe what you're saying. I know you want to be smart. He's horrendous. End of story. I don't know which one he's talking about. Sir, I request elaboration.
Obviously you. Come on now.
Is Kevin Stefanski part of the problem or part of the solution? Full phone lines. We'll get you guys next on 92.3 The Fan. Just because I'm saying I think Kevin is part of the problem now doesn't mean that's an indefinite thing. But I think before we assess, is he part of the problem, is he part of the solution, you have to ascertain whether you think he's a part of the problem in the first place.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't get better without owning his side of the street.
Well, and I think the conclusion we've come to in talking about this is, why has he gotten worse? What happened to Stefanski where he got worse? I mean, I'm all about linear progression. I'm all about, I sound like the Cavs now, selling you on getting better with each passing year. But it's true. Like, there's a reason why Bears fans this past weekend were celebrating Caleb Williams every single week. He's gotten better and better and better, and you see the progression there. We saw it with Deshaun, I thought, in the first 4 weeks of the season. That's why we're optimistic going into week five. It's like every week he's gone a little bit better and a little bit better. Why is it now in year five it feels like Stefanski's taking steps backwards?
And I think the convenient thing is Deshaun, and I think that's part of it. But within that is, has Kevin built his system around Deshaun? Because I've heard this, he built three different offenses. No. No, the first two offenses were the same offense. It was the Gary Kubiak West Coast offense.
Yeah.
This is neither the offense that was promised nor the Kubiak.
I don't know what this offense is.
It's different. It's crap.
You got 12 third downs all season. I don't know what this offense. What do you call this? You call this the crap offense?
Yeah, and I would say maybe
stinks offense. What is this?
Maybe Kevin's identity is that system. Then that in and of itself makes him a little suspect. Because look at the offense that Andy Reid had with Nick Foles, Kevin Cobb, Donovan McNabb, I almost call him Donovan Mitchell, Michael Vick, and then look at what he did with Alex Smith, and look what he does with Pat Mahomes.
He's gotten the best out of every quarterback he's ever
been. He's gone from the West Coast system to an air raid.
Mm-hmm.
Those are wildly different systems. Now, that doesn't mean Kevin can't do it. It just means he's not doing it through five games. And that, again... You're asking a question because it needs to be asked.
You're running out of time. Like, if you're Stefanski, what do you do? Going into an Eagles game, do you drastically change everything? Or do you just try to hope that the light bulb goes on and then all of a sudden Deshaun has something figured out that, by the way, nobody can see coming?
Well, he's just got to coach better. Todd in Ward 1. Todd, what's up, buddy?
What's up, Todd?
Do the Browns look any different to you than the playoff game against the Houston Texans last year? Is there any aspect of their game, other than the players being different people, Does any aspect of the game look different than you than the Houston Texans game from last year?
No.
Not at all. That's not on the coach. They've had plenty of time to be better, to be a better team than they were on that day. Plenty of time to heal up. Plenty of time to organize better. Plenty of time to review what they needed to review. They're playing up to this skill set. They've been overrated. We should admit it. And he's never been a great coach. He's always been good. He's solid. He talks about frustration too much to me. And there's no healthy, productive value to be frustrated in competitive sports. And that concerns me as far as his mindset. But it's not on him. The offensive line looks overwhelmed. Even the game they won, they look like they were dang near overwhelmed. I don't put this on him. That the offensive line is what they are, and there's not going to be much that can be done about that. So, yes, he is part of the solution because he's a good coach, but, yes, he's part of the problem because he keeps talking about every game being after every game being frustrated, and it has no productive value. If you're frustrated, then there's something you're supposed to be doing that you're not doing, and the offensive line's not on you. They're playing up to their skill set. They're in trouble. They might only win one more game this year.
Todd? Illuminating as always, buddy. Appreciate you.
I mean, that was like if we could have asked for a phone call that would encapsulate all the phone calls we've been getting for weeks now, that would have been it.
Well, and it's interesting.
Like you're giving him a pass a little bit, but then you're also in the same respect also being like, he's got to be better.
Well, and I think, I will be honest with you, I think this whole good coach, not a good coach thing, I think that's all...
Is it too binary for you?
Yeah, I think there are truly great elite coaches who, if you give them talent, they'll figure out how to make it work. Those guys are the same guy they've been for as long as that is Tomlin, that is Harbaugh, either of them, that is Andy Reid. And then there's guys who I think are a product of the talent around them.
You see, but I like that you brought Tomlin in the equation because watching that, and we've seen it for years with Tomlin, but watching the... Was it the Sunday night game? The Sunday night game, the one that started at 9:45, and I wasn't able to watch the end of it because I'm an old man now. That game, it was like, oh, Tomlin, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is, doesn't matter the situation that he's in, he's got one way of winning games. He's going to do it the Tomlin way, and that's it. And you know what it is. It's just getting down to the very last possession. Game's going to be close, and then he's going to put his defense to go ahead and try to win it. He's going to try to run the ball a ton. He's going to neuter his quarterback a lot. He's got one way of winning games. It's worked for him. He's got one way of doing it. I wonder if Stefanski tried a little bit too hard to come up with his own Tomlin way of trying to win football games.
Well, but he also at the same point is a guy refuting that identity is like a static thing, right? Like from week to week, well, our identity changes depending on who the opponent is. That sounds a lot like you're allowing your opponent to dictate their will on you and then you just react to it.
Yeah, the Jacksonville game, though. What did we all say when we left the Jacksonville game? Ah, looks just like a Stefanski game. Like, we know it when we see it.
216-474-0092. I do want to get back to more on this because I know you guys are fired up. Got a lot of calls on this. Is Kevin Stefanski part of the problem or part of the solution? The 5 at 5 next on 92.3 The Fan.